Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The sermon theme is slightly different from the what is on your screen. It is a pastor's prerogative to change his mind on what he's got to preach about. Instead, it's similar, but the theme is from membership to discipleship when Jesus calls us to move again. And the text is from Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This is the text. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of the ironies of getting older is that the world keeps inventing new ways to keep us mobile, just as our bodies decide that they're not terribly interested in doing so. We have walkers with brakes strong enough to stop a runaway tram. We have canes that fold and bend and swiveled, and if somebody marketed them properly, you could probably double them as a fishing rod. And then, of course, there is the mobility scooter. Now, I need to confess something to you. I have a complicated relationship with the mobility scooter. I know they're helpful. I know they give independence. I know they keep people connected, but I've also seen things. I've seen scooters tearing down the footpath like they're competing in the Grand Prix. I've seen them weaving through shopping centres with the confidence of someone who believes that they have diplomatic immunity. I've seen drivers of these mobility scooters honk their horn, not as a warning, but as a declaration of territorial dominance. I'm coming through whether you like it or not. And every time I see one coming towards me, I think, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Just last week, I watched a gentleman on the scooter take a corner so sharply outside Woolworths that two teenagers jumped out of the way like startled kangaroos. He just kept rolling along, proud as anything, king of the aisle. We laugh because we know it's true. But beneath the humour is a deeper reality. Part of growing older is becoming less mobile. We don't move as freely as we once did. We choose routines that feel safe. We settle into patterns that help us manage our days. There is wisdom in this. It's how we protect our strength and our bodies. It's how we stay steady. It's how we cope as we grow older and navigate that change. But there is a spiritual danger. When our bodies become less mobile, our faith can become less mobile too. If we only stay with what is familiar, we might miss the quiet things that God, the new things that God is doing right now, and the gentle ways that Jesus is calling us to move. Matthew tells us that Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee when he sees two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the lake. They were not looking for Jesus. They were not attending a Bible study. They're not praying for direction. They are simply doing what they did every day. And Jesus comes and interrupts their normality. He steps into their routine and says, "Come, follow me. Not come sit with me, agree with me, come believe in me. Come, follow me." A movement word, a direction word, a word that requires us to leave something behind. The first thing Jesus asks of his disciples is not belief, but mobility. He calls them to move. Church membership is a beautiful thing. It gives us belonging. It gives us identity. It gives us a spiritual home. But membership can make us comfortable. We find our seat. We learn the rhythm, which are familiar. We settle into things that are familiar. Discipleship, however, is different to membership. Discipleship is movement. Discipleship is following. Discipleship is responding to Jesus when he calls us to take a step, even a small one, towards something new. The danger for any church, especially one with history and wisdom and long faithfulness, is that we can become excellent members but shallow disciples. We can know the hymns, the prayers, the routines, but struggle to move when Jesus says, "Follow me." And here's the truth we don't always like to admit. Jesus never stops calling people to move. Not once, not ever. Matthew says Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Their nets were their livelihood, their stability, their security. It put food on the table, a roof over their heads. It was their identity. It was their normal pattern of existence. But they left all that because Jesus offered them something greater, a life of purpose beyond what they could see. Then Jesus calls James and John. They leave their boat and their father. Again, movement. Again, disruption. Again, a step into the unknown. None of them knew where Jesus was going or where he would lead. None of them had a map or a strategic 5-year plan. They simply trusted that Jesus was calling them to move, and that movement was the safest place to be. So, what does movement look like for us here at Pilgrim in 2026? It doesn't mean selling everything and walking barefoot to Jerusalem. It doesn't mean quitting your job or your lifestyle or abandoning your responsibilities. It doesn't mean becoming a missionary in Mongolia unless Jesus is very, very clear to you. Movement is often something smaller, incremental. Movement might look like praying for someone you've never prayed for before. Inviting a neighbour for a cup of tea. joining a ministry you've never tried, even if it's a simple ministry. Forgiving someone you've held a grudge against for many years. Asking God, what step would you like me to take? Or simply being open to the idea that God may want to stretch your faith again, even at your age. Movement is not about speed. It's not about youthfulness. It's not about physical ability. Movement is about willingness. A heart that says, Jesus, if you call me, I will follow. Even if the step is small, and especially if I don't know where we are going. Churches do not grow because they have the best programs. Churches don't grow because they have the flashiest technology. Churches don't grow because they have the most comfortable chairs, though ours are quite nice. Churches grow when people inside them are willing to move. When disciples take steps. When hearts open, when faith stretches, Jesus calls and we respond. Movement creates momentum. Momentum creates life. Life creates invitation, and suddenly a church that once felt settled begins to feel alive again. Not because we changed anything, but because we allow Jesus to change us. Let me finish with this. If you ever see me on a mobility scooter, and I pray you never do, you will know something. I have finally embraced movement. I'll be rolling down McGill Road with the wind in my hair, keep hooting my horn like a man that has discovered his true calling. And if you see me coming towards you, please don't jump like a startled kangaroo. Just wave and pray. But here's the real point. Movement is not about scooters or speed. Movement is about being a disciple of Jesus. Movement is about following Jesus again, even now, even here, even us, at 70, 80, even 90. Jesus says, follow me. And we respond by saying, yes, I will. So this week I give you a simple invitation. I want you to ask Jesus for one step, one movement of faith, one small act of obedience, one small step or gentle shift toward the life that he is inviting you into. Because when Jesus says, come and follow me, he is not looking for perfection. He is asking for movement. And the church that moves, even slowly, even cautiously, even with wobbly knees, becomes the church that discovers that Jesus is already ahead of us. And he is leading us to a place that is good. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.